jeans, boy. So much money, got it busting out the seams, boy. You got my old bitch, took my new bitch out your dreams, boy. What the fuck you mean, boy? What the fuck you mean, boy? I spent $1,000 on these motherfucking jeans, boy. So much money, got it busting out the seams, boy. You got my old bitch, took my new bitch out your dreams, boy. What the fuck you mean, boy? Nigga, fuck you mean. Nigga, fuck you mean. Nigga, fuck you mean. What the fuck you mean? Nigga, fuck you mean. What the fuck you mean? 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 Same hoe said I couldn't get it, try and kick it. Balmain dinner, spent $1,000 on a ticket. Trapping out the band with money, knocking like who is it? Think they're Benji at the door. Grab the chopper, go and get it. That's a back on leaning. Ain't no rest.
All right, welcome to the show, world famous Phil Henry Show. Yeah, it's world famous, all right, for something, man.
Well, don't get depressed, Phil. I think all these things will work themselves out. I'm Margaret Gray, and I like to think that I am...
All right, Margaret, don't give us the whole... We don't want Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm right now, if you don't mind.
You know what? Oh, you don't want Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm? Is that it?
Yeah, that's right.
Then fuck this.
All right, don't be a child.
No, no.
Thank you very much. That's Meek Mill, and that's Fuck You Mean, FYM, in case you didn't know. And this morning here on our pre-show, we've been dealing with technical matters having to do our video cast. If you're watching the show here on demand, then you've got no problems, okay? But if you're watching the show live, you got all kinds of stuff that you can watch. Excuse the belch.
Well, you know something, Phil? I've come to expect not much, so that's...
Damn pretty good, Mr. Henry.
Thank you.
You're kind of letting it all hang out, is that it, Phil? You know, I got to go with Margaret on this one. To belch like that... God damn.
Yeah, I just don't think it's anything that especially your female listeners...
Well, you know, what do you want from me, man? My female listeners are going to have to hang with it, just like my male listeners, just like my hermaphrodite listeners. You know...
You think you got hermaphrodite listeners? How do you say that?
The term is hermaphrodite.
What do you know about it?
Don't ask me that question, bud.
Well, do you know about a hermaphrodite? Did you ever see one?
Don't do it, bud. Don't go there.
Bud, she's already warned you not to go there.
Or maybe you had sex with one.
I never touched him.
I know.
All right. Enough of the theater. So, how you doing, man? Did you watch any Foonball? I did. I watched some of that disgusting display against the whoever the hell it was. Actually, the games that I watched were pretty good. We were going to tweet there with Coach Dozier, and we're going to get him on the line here in a moment so he can review this weekend's action in the National Putzball League. But it was quite an event to see the great performance of... Who were we watching? I forget.
I don't know. Frank was watching, and I was out at a wine and cheese platter all afternoon.
What is a wine and cheese platter?
You don't know what a wine...
Well, Margaret, tell him. It's a social event.
Yes, it's a social event among some of the writers, the online writers, and published writers. It's mostly those of us who've been actually published by a news press, by an official news press or publication house. We don't really let blog writers in there unless they've been published, you see?
No, I don't. So in other words, the...
I can explain this, Phil.
Wait. So the people that... first of all, the general's question is a good one. What is a wine and cheese platter?
It's a wine and... What a couple of bozo...
Talk about a cheese platter.
Listen, there's a wine and cheese platter there.
All right, so these people that are sitting around a wine and cheese platter and having wine and cheese...
Give the man a cigar.
Hey!
What are you, Phil? Are you extra small in the brain this morning?
I'm trying to figure it out. Don't you call it a wine and cheese platter gathering or something?
Okay, Phil, we'll call it a wine... What a gay blade you are.
Hold on for a minute. Phil's right. A wine and cheese platter?
How does that make me a gay blade?
Oh, the wine and cheese platter gathering?
If you want to know, it's called a wine and cheese platter seminar / round table / I don't know, Phil.
Party.
Yes, Phil, that's right.
Party.
That's right. We sit around, we slosh down the wine, and we hike our dresses up. There, does that make you feel better?
Yay!
See, this one over here is getting his kicks.
No, I don't thought about you hiking the dress up.
So a moment ago, you wanted to know whether I had... I can't even talk. I'm talking to... This Gloid drags me down.
All right, Margaret, take a walk, okay? This Gloid drags you down, huh?
You heard it right.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I feel good knowing that I'm just as smart as you.
is a hot one.
All right. So Margaret was gathered yesterday with her wine and cheese platter friends. I got to have to ask you, though, about that comment you made that you don't let blog writers, is that right?
Yeah, listen, you don't talk about me when I'm not in the room.
Then how about you be in the room, Margaret?
Fine, Phil, you don't have...
Oh, she's going to cry.
You wait. What an emotional... This show is the most emotional show of any that's ever been produced for the audio entertainment of all, even video. If this thing was on television, I mean, like on regular TV... People would be calling in, and they would be writing letters, and they'd be asking, is everybody there okay, or should we just go ahead and order the gas and start pumping it into the vents? Thank you. All right. So I just was curious about that comment.
It's a wine and cheese platter informal gathering of published authors and writers in the Santa Monica area. And by the way, a big shout-out to our very good friends there at the Hotel Casa del Mar, and the wonderful people at Shudders, who I converse with regularly, and they're just beautiful. And we had our initial meeting was there at the Hotel Casa del Mar. Then we retired to our home at the Cabana. No, we had some of the writers there, and...
All right, so enough about all who was there. What do you do? Excuse me, Margaret, I didn't mean it.
Please don't interrupt. What we do is we sit around and we talk about how we can get more of our published brethren... to have their not their writings done, because their writings are well known, but to have it be known that they're not just a bunch of... And forgive me, ladies and gentlemen, those of you that blog, I do respect you, but if you blog... how do I put this? It's just... No one cares, you know.
I don't know what you mean, Ms. Way. Yeah, talk about a blogger? God, that's disrespectful. My friend Tukey Alderman does... And he writes really good.
Who's Tukey Alderman?
Oh, his friend Tukey Alderman writes a bunch of... He writes a bunch of mental deficiency for some blog called... What is it called, bud?
Three Sacks Full.
The Three Sacks Full blog.
What do you mean, the Three Sacks Full blog?
That's where Tukey Alderman writes.
For the Three Sacks Full blog.
What the hell is that?
It's like a gaming site and a lot of tech stuff.
Oh, no one's talking about that. That is a... That's a lot of sewage. I mean real writers writing for real publications. Where you can go to a bookstore and you can find Margaret Gray, My Thoughts, My Coming of Age in Santa Monica. That's my new book. Oh, I can see everyone's really excited, huh?
No, we didn't have any idea you had a new book out.
Yeah, Margaret, when's this coming out?
I'll let you know the publication date. Margaret Gray, Coming of Age, My Coming of Age in Santa Monica. And the cover was done by Butch Wesson. You know his work, Phil?
No.
You don't know Butch Wesson's work?
Yeah, I've seen it. It's like kind of Western art, Phil.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it's very lovely, and he does a seascape. So Butch Wesson did the cover art, and it's published by Hauser & Sons. And it will be out this coming... See, I'm not going to tell you the date.
Oh, God, Miss Gray. Mr. Henry could get a scoop on it.
Phil, you'll be the first to know.
Yeah, because I'm always telling people about stuff I'm doing here.
Yeah, that's real good. I don't know if anyone really cares about what you're doing, but they care about me.
You can say that loud, Margaret. You're not going to offend me.
All right, no one really cares about what you're doing, but they care about me.
Hey, there. Feel better?
What a sarcastic ass. God.
Yeah. So, folks, Margaret's big wine and cheese platter festival yesterday, what happened at the house?
It wasn't a God damn you.
All right, whatever you did at the wine and cheese... Was Frank back at the house?
Yes, Frank was at the house, and he was watching this asininity.
You call what?
I'm sorry, asininity. I was trying to say the word asininity.
Well, maybe you can't say that word.
I'm going to have to chalk that word off this morning, bud. Put it on a whiteboard.
What?
Write down the word asininity.
Write down the word asininity.
Okay, asininity.
Now wipe it off.
Wipe what off?
The board.
The board.
Oh.
There. Now that word is completely out of my mind.
What?
Asininity. You fucking...
All right, okay, so she won't say asininity.
Would you please stop saying it?
Margaret can't say that word this early, so we'll have to not say the word. I didn't say it.
But it starts with an A and it ends with a... Ow! And that stands for pool!
Okay. I thought you were going to say the other word.
What?
Asininity. You fucking... God damn you. When did he learn to run that fast? Boy, that boy, he got part rabbit in him. Man turned rabbit, man gotta go.
All right, Margaret, thank you. Little moment there from Cool Hand Luke. Bob Bacon's going to be doing some traffic for us here in just a second. So anyway, yeah, the National Football League was a blast and a half yesterday. I can't remember what the hell happened.
Well, we were watching the 49er game.
The Niner game was great. That was the Skeens. And the Niner game was good, and Colin Kaepernick, you know, he was a little touch and go there. The kid's always, you know, I don't know what his percentage is per game, but he's always a little touchy when he drops back in that pocket. You can tell that they've told him and that they're working with him on pocket passing, and these guys that ran in college, that's what they do. They look, they don't see anybody open, they go. They look, they don't see anybody open, they go.
Well, yeah, but I mean, what's the difference? In the pro, they do have the rolling pocket in the pros.
Well, they got that in college ball now. You know, the moving pocket.
Yeah, the moving pocket. Well, you got to give that kid a chance to see the field.
Well, the moving pocket allows... what's the problem, Margaret?
Nobody. You've got all the women out there don't know what you're talking about.
That's not necessarily the case. That's not necessarily the case.
Oh, I see. So, in other words, women are learning football. I forgot.
Right. By the way, yesterday, sitting watching a game... Lauren and I were watching the game, and we were seeing these different public address announcements for the violence against women. And she made the comment, oh, isn't this great? Now we care. And I thought, well, you know, to the extent, she had a good point.
Well, yes, because it's late to the game, Phil. Women have been getting the shit kicked out of them for centuries by men. And now, all of a sudden, here comes the national, as you call it, Phil, the National Putz League, and they decide that they'll go ahead and have some announcements about don't beat the hell out of your wife this weekend if you can help it. No, Phil, that won't be good enough.
Well, Margaret, that's not what it was, you know.
Well, Frank told me that's what they were.
No, I don't believe he did. I think that's what you took from it. It's a well-meaning campaign of a group of football players that look into the camera and they say, hey, you know, no more excuses for beating up your wife. No more excuses for beating up your girlfriend. No more excuses for, you know, I didn't know what was happening. You know, it was only once. I'm really sorry. Any of this shit. And it's a good campaign. The point that was made by Lauren was that a little too late, don't you think, fellas? And I agreed with her. I also said, hey, look, if there's one guy out there that sees that and realizes it's no longer cool, he can't go down to the bar room and commiserate with the other assholes that he drinks with and say, yeah, I had to beat my old lady up, but you know how it is.
Well, they do that. They sit around and they go, oh, wow, I kicked the hell out of her, threw her down some metal stairs, and then dragged her out into the street where she got run over by a bakery van. And then they go, hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo, and they go and they play a game of billiard or whatever they do.
Well, it's called pool, and I've never heard a guy say that.
In essence, Margaret's right, although that's a very bizarre scenario.
Yeah, I mean, I'll drag a leg, throw it down metal stairs.
Yeah, it means they got to live in a house with metal stairs.
Never mind, okay?
You get the point of what I'm saying.
Yes, we understand. So if there's one slob that's sitting out there that regularly smacks his wife around or whatever, and he sees this, and he realizes he can no longer go down to the bar room and say, ah, yeah, it's really tough, I smacked my wife around, because the other guys are now all of a mind that this ain't cool, then maybe that helps. You know, maybe that helps. I mean, I go with that. There's some people who say if you come up with this excuse, which is, you know, if it just helps one person, then that's bullshit, because that's only one person. I remember Loman Barkley had a very, very funny line one morning. They said, if we can make one heart happy, just one happy heart, then we've actually failed, because we have to make more than one happy heart, because we get paid to...
Yes, you get paid to make thousands of happy hearts.
Yes. So getting just one guy to go, hey, I won't beat my girlfriend up, is probably not too cool. You dig what I'm saying. All right, Bob Bacon out there in the highways and byways this morning. Bob, what's it look like?
All right, Philly, byways and byways, highways. I'm bisexual. Bob Bacon here with the bisexual traffic. I heard you say that with a girl with a big ass out there. You can lose 35 pounds if you go into the max trainer, the 35 pounds. And I lost 35 pounds right off my ass. Boy, I hope I don't lose that off my dick, though, huh? Hey, Bob Bacon with the traffic.
Bad bitches in different states. It's like I think I'm in chase with porn stars.
Go Mac, go Mac, go Mac. Go Mac, go Mac.
Yeah!
There's Mac Miller, world famous Phil Henry Show. Well, you know, into the life of everyone must come the coach. The coach has got to make the appearance, and we got Coach Vernon Dozier on the line with us here from his home in Glendale, California, if we get the coach up here. Coach, I really appreciate you joining us here, and you were watching the ball games yesterday, so what'd you think?
Yeah, I can't hear anything because of this garbage here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Turn that down, bud.
That's Mac Miller.
Yeah, I know it's Mac Miller. Listen, I'm a high school teacher, so I know all about this. The garbage.
Turn it down, bud.
I want to hear about it.
Bud, I appreciate that, but I can hear about it. All I got to do is walk through the quad at Belmar Academy, and I hear a hundred of these boombox ghetto blasters.
They don't call them ghetto blasters anymore.
Yeah, I know. I actually like some of the hippity-hop and enjoy it, because if you're a teacher and you're around young people, friend, you better start to like some things that otherwise would cause an expiration, as they say, of food particles into the atmosphere. That's called throwing up.
That's called expirate?
Yeah, you expiate or a.
Okay, coach, that's fine.
But if you go, all right, bud. Here, if you go like this, bleh, what's that called?
What?
What's that called if you go? Bleh?
Well, coach.
Not you, Margaret. Bud, I just want to know, bud. What's it called if a guy's walking down the street and goes?
But epileptic fit.
An epileptic fit. Is that what that guy said?
Well, look, Coach, why don't you just tell the guy what's it called? It's throwing up.
Yeah, it's called throwing up.
Yeah, I know that.
Well, then why didn't you say it?
Okay, Coach, what's the point of this?
The point is that when I'm walking through the quad and I hear, go Mac, go Mac, go Mac, or something like that, I want to go, and no, I'm not having an epileptic fit, okay?
Well, see, now you're arguing with somebody about, like, politics.
Is this guy for real? Because I'll come through the phone on him. I swear to God.
No, he's having some fun.
Just trying to have some fun, Coach.
Well, don't have any fun with me.
All right, now I understand, Coach, you're having a rotten season at Belmar, right?
Yeah, we are having a bad year. We're having one of the worst years we've had. I've been at Belmar for 30 years as the head football coach, and we, in that time, in that 30-year period, half of those years, we have either challenged for the league title outright. In three-quarters of those years, we've been in postseason play. And I'd say about one-quarter of those years, we've won league titles, and we won the Division 3A three times. And that's a big thing. I don't know if you know about winning. If you know about winning a division in high school football, it's one holy hell of a big deal.
Now, what the division is a larger entity than the league.
Yes, that's correct.
Right, and the CIF is divided in, we say CIF, it stands for what?
That's the California Interscholastic Federation. The California Interscholastic Federation, which is the sanctioning body of all California high school sports. Now, we have two sections in California, northern section, southern section. The state's too big to have a state champion, although I know they have a playoff, I think, between north and south. But I'm not too interested in that because my team never gets that far. I do anticipate, though, being there within the next couple of years because we got a great group that are going to be seniors next year. But right now we concentrate on trying to win the Southern Section. Now, we've never won Southern Section. We're a small school. We're in Division 3A, which is a relatively small school division. But there have been small schools that have elevated themselves way up the ladder, way up there, baby. And, it does happen.
What are some small high schools that have gone, you know, in terms of actual student body population? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, talking about the numbers of students.
All right. What are some small schools that have made their way all the way to Division I and have challenged?
Well, you've got Loyola up there in San Francisco.
Oh, yes, that's Loyola. Is that in the city of San Francisco, right?
That's a small school, but Loyola has been a powerhouse in football in the northern section. Down here in southern section, you've seen schools like Bishop Amat, and these are Catholic schools, small schools like that. Bishop Amat's not that small, but generally you've got the big student bodies, the big like Westlake Village Westlake or Valencia. Or then you got down there Long Beach Poly.
You know, I saw a thing on TV this weekend. Or actually Thursday night, some guy, this was not a very cool graphic, some kid fumbled the football for one of the teams, it might have been Kansas City or Oakland, one of the two, and I think it was an Oakland player, and they said, and he came out of Long Beach Poly. There's something like, I don't know how many, there's a lot of players in the National Football League that came out of Long Beach Poly.
Yeah, there's right now, I can name probably five or six that have come out of that school. It's a great school, it's a great program. But, yeah, I know what you thought. He coughed the ball up.
Yeah, but they said that in that season or this season or last season something, the Long Beach Poly grads have had a higher than usual number of fumbles. That's got no significance, does it?
Well, no, I don't. Of course, it doesn't have any significance. not. You mean they teach them to fumble at Long Beach Poly?
What is that supposed to mean?
No, they don't teach them to fumble. I think it's just a coincidence, Phil. It's just a, you know, there's a lot of players that come out of that high school, particularly who are speed merchants. You get a lot of guys that come out of Long Beach Poly that want to just burn it up, man. They want to, well, I tell you, they want to head down that field. I mean, we played Long Beach Poly one year in a, it was a non-conference, non-league game. And we had our asses handed to us. There's no question about it. The kids are very intimidated. It's a big school. It's a big, it's a big football powerhouse. Look, I'm looking at Terry Bradshaw on TV right now. He looks like an alcoholic. God damn it! If, you know what? They're trying to make him look like an alkie, and I swear to God, I bet you he is.
All right, Coach. Let's just forget about that. Let's stick with the topic here. Really, what we want to do is we wanted to talk about the NFL.
Yeah. Well, let's do that. But I just want to get this out of the way. Our football team this year blows all manner of land and marine mammal. Land and marine mammal. Our football team blows all manner of land and marine mammal. And I just, I'm sorry.
So you had to get that in. That's about as vulgar a thing.
Yeah, but the coach wanted to get it in.
There's no other way for me to say it without using the F and the S word. But that's where that's at.
All right, we're going to get to Coach, we're going to get here to Coach Vernon Dozier and the National Football League results and what happened yesterday. I watched a few of the games. I can't remember, Jack. He did mention the San Francisco game. The Denver game is a big game, so we will get to that and other items here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. So just stick around with us. And don't forget, of course, with a backstage pass, you can be privy to all of the marvelous things that happen here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The Backstage Pass gives you the video cast as well as all of the shows, our archives, over 15,000 hours of archived radio shows, and God knows what else, as the world-famous Hendry Famous Show.
Boy, you really are. You're yucking it up this morning.
Yeah. As the world-famous Phil Hendry Show rolls on.
Yeah! The world famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico. So there.
This then is Hoodie Allen. What a jive turkey.
All right, let's get back here with Coach Vernon Dozier here as we discuss. Thank you, Hoodie. We're discussing the National Football League.
That guy's name is really Hoodie Allen, is that it?
Yeah, pretty funny, ain't it?
I think it's cute.
Yeah, well, whatever. It's. So you want me to talk here about the NFL yesterday, is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so we're all off to high school.
Unless you want to keep talking about high school.
I'd rather not, but when you brought it up, it started to feel painful. It literally, when you bring up our team, when you bring up our high school season.
Well, we're not going to bring it up.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, when you bring up the high school season, I can feel it start down near my, down there, and I can feel it burn all the way up my esophagus until I want to go. And here again, bud, you have that sound, you know?
Oh, until you want to go bleh.
Yeah, I want to go bleh right there on the quad. No, I'm not having an epileptic fit. No, I'm not expressing an opinion about something. I can feel it burning, and it goes up.
All right, Coach, we're not going to talk about the high school program.
All right, fine. I just so long as it's understood.
It's completely understood, Coach. Let's talk NFL. I don't know anything about it, nor do I care. But I know that Frank and Jason J. Delmonico were watching the games. And tell us all about it.
Well, first of all, you all saw that Thursday night game, and that was one for the ages. I had my money on the Chiefs all the way. I had the Chiefs going. I had Chief team defense. And for the Oakland Raiders to win that game, an 0-10 team. Now, again, the Chiefs are playing on the road, but you got to win on the road. If you think you're going to win a championship, you think that you've got some idea that you want to win championships, friend, you better start winning on the road. And if you can't, then you can take it and pound it right back up your you-know-what where you got it and stick all the other hopes and aspirations of any other human being that ever kind of supported you. And you can take the whole human race, just like in that Outer Limits episode where that guy had the whole human race on a little wire. Well, you can take the whole human race, turn it into a turd, and shove it back up Kansas City's ass, and goodbye, human race. Humanity is extinguished, okay? The minute they take a dump...
Okay, well, where are we going now?
This image is offensive.
I'm telling you right now, the money I lost on that game...
Oh, man, Coach, this is a bit more serious than we thought.
Jesus, Coach, how much did you lose?
I lost a lot. The money I lost on that game, like, I thought for sure Kansas City would go in there and clean their clock. And what did they do? They took the human race, just like in the Twilight Zone, about the whole human race.
I know, the whole human race on a piece of wire.
That's right. And they put it into a turd, shoved it up Kansas City's ass, and then they took a big, long dump after the game.
Well, Coach, this is very emotional for you.
Yes, it is.
Okay, could we get some, maybe, football analysis that is not influenced entirely by your success or lack thereof betting?
Oh, okay, I get it, so...
Phil, I don't think that's very kind, Phil.
Yeah, no, but Phil's used to it. Phil's used to sticking it in and breaking it off, you know?
Whoa, hold on. Where is it written that I got to hear about your bets?
Phil.
Where is it written? I bring you on this show to talk about football. You can talk about your high school program. You said you didn't want to talk about it, and then you brought it up.
No, you brought it up.
You brought up the our high school program. You know, Phil, we've been Division 3A.
No, but you brought up, you asked, how's the high school team doing?
I did, but then you went into a whole big song and a dance.
Well, if you asked the question, how's the high tool?
How's the high tool?
Not high tool. How's the high school team doing?
Now, look, why don't you guys calm down? Get yourself an ice cold, ice drink.
Excuse me, you know, with all respect to the service to our country that you've given, and I got to say that all the time I'm on this program.
Okay, calm the hell down. You want us to do this segment at another time?
No, I do not.
Phil, I think Phil's got a good idea there. I think we need to take a deep breath.
I'm not taking any deep breath, because if I take a deep breath, I've got to exhale. And if I exhale out of my lungs and mouth what's in there this morning, people die. Okay?
General, it can't...
No, people will die. If I breathe on anyone this morning, you'll see flowers wilt, you'll see whole lawns die, you'll see people pass out like it's Village of the Damned.
Do you need to take a break?
Yes, I do.
I can't hear you.
Yes, I do. Okay?
All right, we'll take a couple of minutes.
Fine.
What?
Fine.
Why are people rude to me?
Well, Phil, don't say it. You know, why are people rude? Say it like a man, Phil.
I think I did. Why are people rude to me?
People are rude to you, Phil, because you're very aggressive and you're a very weird man, Phil.
Yeah, Phil, I gotta say, you're very straight, you're very explosive. No one knows what's gonna happen next with you. And so everyone's gotta be on their guard.
You're telling me that I put people off.
Well, you don't put people off like in the bad breath or anything. I will say that, Mr. Henry. But,
Yes, I will say, your breath is generally very good, Phil.
Well, thank you very much.
Speaking of that, hold on for a minute.
God damn it, Margaret. You and those breath checks.
I have to do a breath check. I always brush thoroughly, and I always use gum and a mint, but every so often during the show, oh, Jesus.
Here, let me take a whiff. Yeah? Yeah, man.
Yeah, are there any mints?
I'll go get a few.
I need some Tic Tacs also, Bud.
Okay, you guys done?
No, I'm not done. Tic Tacs, Bud, and you know what's really... The Clorets. Get the Clorets.
Yes, ma'am.
Now I'm done.
You were saying about me being sort of weird.
Yeah, you're very weird.
It's not that you're weird so much as you're explosive, and you might say something or do something, and people are going to think, God damn, this dude is, like, jacked up and all weirded out, you know?
Jacked up and all weirded out. Hey, can we reschedule these? Postpone these computer scans, okay? This is pissing me off.
What?
These computer scans I don't want. You dig? You guys got these computer scans going. You got them scheduled for the middle of the show. It's just like the damn Akamai scheduling maintenance in the middle of the show. Which, by the way, for those of you who were watching or listening live, you'll note, and you probably, I hope you saw a note on our website that says that due to scheduled maintenance, we don't have a live video stream this morning, but we will have an on-demand video cast for you, and if you're watching this on-demand. The only thing I can't figure out is what happened to my background on 2. Oh, well.
Look, Phil, will you just kiss that off?
All right. Sorry. Is this it here? I have no idea. Well, we'll have to figure this one out. Is this a utility? All right, so getting back here to our good friend, Coach Vernon Dozier, we're talking about, we're talking about the football games yesterday. Coach, we're off of all that bullcrap. I know that you lost a lot of money on the Kansas City game on Thursday. Let's move on to to this weekend, shall we?
Well, just suffice to say, Kansas City losing on the road to an 0-10 team. You know what? You can take the Kansas City Chiefs this year, and you can stick them anywhere you want, in a can on the street, in the dumpster. You could put them in the recycling bag, and we'll go ahead and throw it into the garbage anyway. you can put them into one of those baggies that's gone bad in the refrigerator and let that, you know, be, let that sit and stink someplace. You can do anything you want with the Kansas City Chiefs, but one thing you can't do with them is put them in a playoff slot where they're going to win.
Wait, are you, wait.
Yeah, hold on, are you saying they're not making the playoffs?
I'm telling you they won't win. I think they'll lose the first round. That's how much they suck.
I disagree 100%. I think Kansas City will learn from this loss. The Oakland Raiders are a traditional rival. The Oakland Raiders are, that's been the team they've gone to war with over the years for God knows how many. I mean, since 1960, I guess. You know.
No, they haven't. Not since 1960.
Well, how old are the Kansas City Chiefs?
The Kansas City Chiefs only came into existence in 1963. They used to be the Dallas Texans. Oh, I'm so sorry. Did that hurt?
Big deal, man.
Big deal, man. Well, it's these little victories, Phil, for me, that I take solace
sustenance?
Yeah, sustenance in.
Okay, fine. Next game we have here, the Cleveland Browns and the Atlanta Falcons. I watched the tail end of this thing, and I got to tell you, I was almost, Vernon, weren't you going to tweet this?
Yes, I almost started tweeting this game. Someone had suggested the, then I got waylaid, and I got convinced to tweet the Arizona Cardinal game instead. And God, that was just a turd. I hated that game. Arizona got their ass handed to them. I'll get to that game in a moment. But this Cleveland Brown Atlanta Falcon game came out for a win. This kid Hoyer, who had thrown three picks, I think, in this ball game. God, did this kid redeem himself. The final drive of the game, this punk kid Hoyer completed the key passes, got the ball club down to where they needed to be. In goes the field goal. Out comes the victory. Up the ass go the Atlanta Falcons. Out of the ass into a clean and free way of living, the Cleveland Browns, even though they are called the Browns, and they still maintain they be called the Browns. You know, Margaret?
Well, see, that I had written a letter to Commissioner Tagliabue. He's not the commissioner anymore. Who's the commissioner now?
Roger Goodell.
Well, I don't know. Frank had written a letter to Goodell. I think he'd written a letter to Tagliabue, stating very unequivocally, we are offended. We are the parents of a 14-year-old boy. There are a great many other parents out there that sit through these Sundays where you have the 14, the 13, the 11-year-old boy, and you say, well, do you want to watch the Cleveland Browns? And they're going, And you know something? I'm being ridiculous, but that's exactly what happens.
Yeah, but Miss Gray got to understand. Little tiny boy won't talk about it, you know?
I mean, look, if you got a little 14-year-old punk kid and you say, hey, the Cleveland Browns, of course they're going to go, hoo-hoo-hoo, because in their minds, the Cleveland Browns are a big lump of you-know-what, and that's what they've been getting. But quite frankly, the Cleveland Browns have been a big lump of you-know-what for a lot of years.
I've never heard that. I've never. And I was a little boy back in the 60s when there was a Cleveland Browns, and nobody ever said, ooh, there's a big lump of you-know-what.
Wait, hold on for a minute. What, say that again?
Yeah, Phil, what was that? That was a big bunch of...
Very weird, Phil.
Very weird, Phil. I was a 10-year-old kid in 1962-63, and the Cleveland Browns existed, and they played on television.
Well, but it wasn't the Cleveland Browns of today, was it?
Don't start with me, Coach, okay?
All right.
It was a better Cleveland Browns. It was the Cleveland Browns of Jim Brown. Ever heard of him? Oh.
All right, okay.
Yeah. And Frank Ryan and Gary Collins, and it was a great football team. And none of my friends ever went, let's go watch the Browns. We just thought they were the Cleveland Browns, man. We didn't know what it meant. We thought they were named after Paul Brown.
Well, they were named after Paul Brown until I saw a poster from the 50s that was advertising a Cleveland Brown game, and they had a pixie. And I was thinking, what in the name of Christ? Excuse my language. I don't mean to be offensive to anybody super religious. I'm very religious. I am very, very devoutly religious. But I looked at that and I went, Jesus Christ, you have forsaken mankind.
Coach, you did not.
Oh, Coach, Coach did do that. Yes, I did.
You took the name of the Lord.
Can we move past this stupid conversation about the Browns and what it means?
No, we cannot, because I'm telling you, when I saw that Cleveland Brown poster and it had a little prancing pixie, I remember dropping to my knees in a rainstorm. I just got out of a cab, and I was in Cleveland, Ohio, and I was there for a young football coach's clinic. And I saw the poster, Cleveland Browns this weekend versus the New York Ass, I don't know what it was. I guess it was the Giants, because they never had a team called the New York Ass, did they?
They're only mighty. Want me to look it up?
If you wouldn't mind.
No, they didn't. No, they did not.
Well, what is with you, Phil?
You know what? I want to get to the games, and you're telling me all these stories about the Cleveland Browns and the Pixie.
That's exactly right.
Well, yeah, so you know what? I'm very religious, too, Coach. So you're telling me you saw a poster that said the Cleveland Pixies?
No, no, no. I saw...
He saw a poster that had a pixie on it.
I had a poster.
You had the poster?
No, I saw the poster, and immediately I wanted to buy it because I saw this prancing little pixie. But I also dropped to my knees in a driving rainstorm right outside this cab in downtown Cleveland, going into the football club there for a young coach's clinic, and I saw this pixie, and I dropped to my knees, and I remember praying, Jesus, I know it wasn't fun being nailed to that cross, but could you get back up on that cross for a few more minutes and bleed away my pain? Because... Well... Fuck you.
You asked for that, Phil.
What are you laughing about, Phil?
What am I laughing about? Anybody want to explain?
You gotta understand, man. It's pretty funny. What is? Get back up on the cross?
This guy, Coach Dozier, is a mental case from way back. We all know this. And he wants Jesus to climb back up on that cross for a few more minutes and bleed away the pain he's feeling because he sees a poster for the Cleveland Browns that has a pixie on it! That's why I'm laughing.
Well, but Phil, you don't have to laugh at a man as he's going...
Yeah, I'm saying that, but the man was going through his religious ablutions, you know.
Yeah, what about that?
What do you mean, his religious ablutions? He drops to his knees and pray...
Now, what's the story with the pixie?
The pixie was the... That's what they thought of Brown... That's what they wanted the Brown to be. Brownies, okay, Brownie?
Oh, is that what that is?
Yes, the Brownies, the pixies. So they wanted them to be kind of pixies. But I don't think that ever took. I haven't seen a pixie on a Cleveland Brown promotional. I haven't seen that on the Cleveland Brown logo. I haven't seen it in any marketing materials for the Cleveland Browns. It's always been just that helmet. And just the image of the Cleveland Browns, and just the, really, it goes back to Paul Brown. They'll always be Paul Brown's team.
Well, I'm thinking about Paul Brown invented football the way it is, too.
Yeah, I seen that guy Bill Bougainvillier talk about it.
His name isn't Bougainvillier, it's Belichick. You know what? You got a pig's brain. Whoever put the brain in you, it was just like on Frankenstein. They wandered into a pig cemetery, and then,
all right, fine. But it's not Bougainvillier, wherever you got that.
I didn't say Bougainvillier. Yeah, well, yeah, I did. But I met Belichick or something.
Belichick, man!
His name's Coach Belichick. Coach Belichick said, he said 95% of what they do in football today, 95% of what they do in football today comes directly from Paul Brown. Now, that is quite a statement.
Now, this guy, Paul Brown, coached the Cleveland Brown, right?
Well, I think so. This is the whole point of the conversation.
I wanted to know, I know he owned the team. Did he coach them?
Yeah, he coached them. He coached them. Yes, he had a piece of the Cleveland Brown. And then Coach Brown left the National Football League and went to the American Football League because he knew they were going to be granting an expansion franchise in Cincinnati. And he also knew that by that point, the AFL was going to be merging with the NFL. So his feeling was, I'm going to get an expansion team in the National Football League, and I'm going to coach it, I'm going to own it, and we're going to make this sucker. And guess what? Paul Brown had those Cleveland Browns he had the Cincinnati Bengals in the playoffs by 1970. I think they played the Baltimore Colts in the first round of the playoffs. They got shut out. But that's a pretty damn rapid rise, you know.
Well, now you can talk all you want about Paul Brown, but the Miami Dolphins, what about that?
The Miami Dolphins, the one with Coach Shula.
Yes, that's the Coach Shula team.
What did they do?
What did they do? The Miami Dolphins won the Super Bowl, and they did it undefeated.
Nobody goes undefeated.
Yeah, they did, man. The 72 Miami Dolphins went undefeated. 72 season, the 73 Super Bowl, but the 72 season.
What?
Yeah, what do you mean, Sammy?
Look, guys, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about this bullshit, okay?
Fine, what a dickhead.
Yeah, you're getting all crazy.
I'm just telling you that
Slow down, Phil. Bud, go get him.
Here, drink this, Phil. Just down a hatch. Come on.
Whiskey?
You little...
Come on.
You're out of your feet, Phil. You needed it.
I'm not out of my feet. I took a shot of... Well, Glenlivet. It ain't bad.
Yeah. 20 years.
It's the bonded stuff.
Yeah, great. So, the Cleveland Browns were started, yes, and then Paul Brown developed the team. Paul Brown had all kinds of innovations. Paul Brown platooned... Not platoon, they did that in baseball, but Paul Brown developed the concept of special teams.
Paul Brown developed the idea of communicating the signals by way of radio headset. Paul Brown was the first to just send the plays in as a coach. Most of the players most of the quarterbacks selected their own plays from a set of plays that they got together with the offensive coordinator and head coach on before the game. But they picked their own plays. Not with Paul Brown, baby. He was sending the plays in. Paul Brown, you know, was the first guy to really develop the position of tight end as a long threat, you know, where tight ends could have the kind of speed. Tight ends are just blocking backs, you know, or blocking receivers, general.
Well, yeah, the tight ends are big guys, and they can block, like you were saying.
Right. And the tight end under Paul Brown became a deep threat. So there's a lot of things that he did, and that's why they're called the Browns. And we were going to talk about the Cleveland Browns with Coach Dozier, and he tells me to F off. And
No luck yet.
Coach, if you're listening, man, come on. You know, I'm sorry. Anyway, the Browns did beat the Atlanta Falcons 26-24. It was a very, very good football game. But Seth Hoyer, the quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, who had, as I mentioned, thrown three picks, did redeem himself in the final drive of the game, completing key passes and setting up the field goal.
Now, what do you call a key pass? It's one that is what?
Well, it's generally a first down.
A key pass, get a first down, you beat the defense.
I don't speak the language. I don't know what you clowns are talking about.
Right. Well, Coach...
Yeah, he's right here.
Hey, Coach, look, sorry, man. Didn't mean to laugh at you, but you were saying that you dropped to your knees in front of a poster of a pixie?
No, I did not say that, Bill. I'm going to try, and for the first time in my life, I'm going to try and hold my temper. I said... Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Everybody else there?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm out here, Coach. I'm here, Coach.
Go ahead, Coach.
All right. I forgot.
You dropped to your knees.
Yeah, I got out of the cab in Cleveland, Ohio, and I saw the Cleveland Browns this weekend versus the New York Giants, it must have been. Or the Jets, I forget which. And it said, get your tickets here, or come on out to the game. And it had a cheerleader, and she had a flag, and she was marching up and down a field, and that was fine, you know. And then in the corner, they had a dancing pixie with a football, and he was winking, and I was thinking, you know, Phil, you don't understand, but I'm thinking... Did they go gay or what? I don't understand, you know.
What was shocking, the fact that it was a pixie?
Yes, it was my favorite football team, and there's an elf holding the ball like he's going for the end zone, but he's looking at me and winking like, I don't...
It was just a shocking image.
It was worse than shocking. I mean, you got a pixie winking at you, and you're on your knees in a driving rainstorm, and you are calling God to please deliver you from this nightmare that you're looking at, right?
That was that bad, huh?
Yes, it was that bad. Yes, it was that bad.
I want to say something, Coach. It sounds to me, and I'm saying this with great love and respect, that you were under a lot of pressure and you needed to see some kind of a professional.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt.
Watch it, Margaret. He might get upset.
No. I'm not upset. There's no doubt I needed a psychiatrist. No doubt at all I needed a psychiatrist. But the reason I needed a psychiatrist was the pressure I was under as a young coach. I was just starting out as an assistant coach on Jay Brewer's staff there, Phil, at... Bellamy State. You remember that school?
Yeah, well, I remember you telling me about it.
Oh, yeah. That guy, Coach Brewer, it was like working for Adolf Hitler. It really was. It was like being the foreign minister for Adolf Hitler. He would pat you on the head 1 minute, and the next minute, they're just, go ahead, slide him on in. Yeah, we got an order. Extra crispy.
Why'd you hang up?
I won't stand for that.
Oh, come on, Phil. Would you knock it off?
I won't stand for that kind of humor. All right, let's move on. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
You got to tell him about pigsy and everything.
Get him back on the phone. If I hear any more of that stuff, I'm going to hang up again.
Yes, sir.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show and PhilHendryShow.com. Been great. We'll be right back. What the hell is this, man? Oh, it's football, yeah. You know what that is, man? That's the actual audio from the NFLs.
Hey, hit records on my demo.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California, friend. Have a care. I'm General Galen Shaw.
Anything I got is not a rental.
Yes, on Thanksgiving Day, Phil will be part of the Jimmy Pardo Podcast-a-thon. That's right. For the second year, Phil will be a part of a great lineup of comics, wonderful people who will be there to benefit a very, very worthy cause. It's Jimmy Pardo's Podcast-a-thon at the Acme Theater there on La Brea, but you can watch it online for free on video or hear it by way of audio, and we'll give you more details as we move along. I'm Marco Gay.
What's the move?
Yeah.
Can I tell the truth? If I was doing this for you, then I have nothing left to prove.
Oh.
This for me, though. I'm just trying to stay alive.
All right.
And take care.
Yeah, that's true. Jimmy Pardo's Podcast-a-thon. We will be a part of that. That's going to be. That's coming up on Thursday. God, Thanksgiving's Thursday.
Yes, it is, Phil.
And they don't have no awards for that. That's Jimmy.
Shit don't come with trophies. Ain't no envelopes, though.
Right on, baby.
I just do it because I'm supposed
to. Bitch, I go to dreams with a suitcase.
This is Jimmy Pardo singing.
I got my whole country on a new way.
Well, I mean, that's not Jimmy singing.
Yeah, it is.
Jimmy wouldn't sing that.
Yes, he would.
Split up right after the wedding. That told my ass to stay committed. Fuck the credit.
Yes.
Bitch, check the numbers. I'm the one who really gets it.
This is Jimmy Pardo.
I tell y'all motherfuckers, man, this shit is not a love song.
This shit is not a love song.
This is doing me and only God can judge song.
Woo!
I do not know what the fuck you thought it was song. Pop some fucking champagne in a tub song. Nigga, just because song.
All right, let's get back here to the coach, man. Coach Vernon Dozier here, the world famous Phil Henry Show. We really got to get moving, Coach, because we got stuff to do here, you know.
Oh, you got stuff to do? Excuse me, I was on mic there for a moment. Thanks a lot. You just destroyed the image that I was on a telephone at Belmar Academy because
people could hear me on the voice.
You know, that pisses me off. You know, fuck this.
I don't have no award for that. Shit don't come with trophies. Ain't no envelopes to open. I
All right, folks. What are we listening to, man? That sounds pretty cool. That's audio. That's Monday Night Access. Okay, so where we were... Oh, you know what? Here is the audio from that win, I think. This is the audio from the win.
With 44 seconds to go!
That was the win...
44 seconds to go!
That was...
On the way! This from 53 to give the Falcons the lead.
The Falcons took the lead in that. 44 seconds.
Rough day for Brian Hoyer, 19 of 30.
Brian Hoyer, did I say Seth? Brian Hoyer.
Career high with three interceptions.
Three picks.
They got to deal with three timeouts and 44 seconds.
And they got to deal with the crowd noise as well. First and 10. Hoyer hit as he throws, incomplete. Seven catches today for Gordon. Hoyer throws the other way. And coming back to make the catch is Miles Austin. Bierman coming with pressure. Hoyer eludes it. Throws on the run. Caught by Gordon. In Atlanta.
45-yard line.
Browns have one timeout remaining. Over the middle. Caught by the tight end. Gordon.
And he got away.
To the 30.
30-yard line.
Down with 16 seconds to go. Mike Pettine has called
one more timeout.
Timeout.
16 seconds.
Over the middle to Austin at the 20. Now the Browns have.
Now they got to hustle up 11 seconds, spike it.
7 seconds to go, and Hoyer spikes it.
Spiked it with 5 seconds left.
Missed from 38 last week. This is from 37 yards. He has 9 career game-winning field goals. Snap, kick on the way, good!
If you're a Browns fan, that's one of them wins, man.
That's very exciting.
And I saw it. I was watching that game. That was a hell of a... And you got the guy's name wrong.
I did. I called him Seth Hoyer. I don't know what I'm talking about. And frankly, I don't give a shit, so long as I get the right last name. Chicago Bears beat the Buccaneers there, 21-13. Sorry the coach isn't with us, but he got all upset because I, you know, called him a dirty name.
You didn't call him a dirty name.
Well, I, you know, after...
I think it'll be a really good test for us.
After all of this folderol with the coach, him getting his feelings hurt about the Pixie, I don't know what to say. Anyway, here's the Bears and the Buccaneers. This is all courtesy, by the way, the NFL Network.
You know, the one... one thing we talk about always,
head coach,
of course, that turnover ratio.
Lovie Smith of the Buccaneers.
Just tough to win football games.
And what are you doing, Matty? Coach Dozier's supposed to do this.
Coach Dozier ain't with us. What do you want me to do?
I can try and call him back one more time.
One time.
Call his ass back. You know, we were supposed to talk about Ferguson.
Yeah, when's the ruling coming down about Ferguson anyway?
I have no idea, man. And Chuck Hagel had to step down. And the Congress of the United States, the House controlled Congress, said that Benghazi, there was no problem. Nobody was covering up. No conspiracy. And the Tea Party can stick it right back up their ass where they find all their other opinions. Thank you.
You know, the first drive, first series of...
You got a black head coach here. The Tea Party's going to be upset about that. That's for sure.
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
Well, I'm just speaking your language.
You know, they didn't have to really go a long ways for their 21 points, and that's just not a good thing.
Especially team-wise, we didn't
show up as much as we needed to. Defense gives some good things.
What are you doing? You're going ahead without me. You know, you don't need me?
Yes, we do need you. We're watching Lovie Smith here, the Buccaneers and Bears.
All right, the Bear game I didn't watch, and you didn't need to watch it. The Bears are going to win. Look, the Chicago Bears are bad, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are worse. Lovie Smith's a damn good coach. He used to coach the Chicago Bears. Matter of fact, coached the Chicago Bears all the way to the Super Bowl, even though they lost the Indianapolis Bears to Tampa Bay Indianapolis Bears. But they lost. No, I'm sorry.
The Indianapolis Colts.
The Indianapolis Colts. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have got problems starting at quarterback and ending. And ending with kicker. In other words, every damn player that you can possibly think about, every position you could possibly think about, friend, that's it. Now you move on over to the Cincinnati Bengals and the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans, just like everybody else in Texas, they think it doesn't smell. They think that they can put their hand there. See, Marvin Lewis, the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. Marvin Lewis was the defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens the year they won the Super Bowl, and he got this head coaching job there at Cincinnati by virtue of the great job he did there. But Cincinnati Bengals are a football team that's on the move, on the right. Andy Dalton, this kid throws a lot of picks. And I said during one of the games, I was watching Andy Dalton, I said, if that's my quarterback, I have them go back to the practice field immediately after the game, and I have them run those pick plays over and over and over again until someone dies. All right.
I know you're kidding about that, right?
No, I'm not kidding.
No, I don't think you are kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. No. I will run those plays over and over again until someone dies or we get them right. Now, generally, we get them right and we don't have to kill anybody. But I'm telling you right now, I said, I'll keep you guys here until one of you is dead, pronounced dead. And I got the doctor standing by.
And if that happens, what keeps you, if that happens, what keeps you out of a jail cell?
See, I noticed, Phil, when you were going to, keeps you out of a jail cell. You kind of pussied out a little bit there, Phil. Why's that?
No, I didn't. I've got an allergy.
I got an allergy.
It's not about me, Coach. If that happens, what keeps you out of a jail cell?
Thank you very much.
You know what, Phil? I want to get the goddamn highlights. You keep insulting him. I mean, offending him.
Phil, you're offending him.
Offending him?
Yeah, I mean offending.
Well, I'm sorry, Coach, if I'm offending you. We have to move on here. We got other things to do. Sorry we couldn't get to all of the highlights of the National Fluffball League, but that's just the way it goes. And I also saw what he tweeted, bud.
Yeah, he said he tweeted out that he would have them dig their graves. No, he said that about the New York Jets.
Yeah, I said the New York Jets, the first thing they do at practice, he'd give each guy a shovel and they dig their own graves.
Oh, my God. This is the man we just were talking to?
Yeah. Coach Dozier is a maniac. There's no question. But he gets results. He's got a proven record of success. And I think, personally, that's what we like in our coaches, man. We just love those guys to be badass. Now, what were we going to do here, General?
Well, we got to look at Benghazi. First, I know that I wanted to get on Tad Winterbrook. Tad is a military advisor there with SEPCON 2. And he was very close to the CIA during those final days at Benghazi, and all hell was breaking loose. Certainly there's nothing to joke about, that's for goddamn sure, if you'll pardon my language. But Seth Gruber, is that his name we have on the line?
It's Gruber? I mean, Commander Gruber? Yeah, Commander Gruber's on the line right now with General Shaw. Go ahead, General.
Yeah, is that... Commander Gruber, how are you, sir?
Good morning.
Sir, this is General Galen Shaw, United States Army, retired.
Yes, good morning. Nice to be with you.
And I understand you're at a carnival?
Yeah, I'm here at the National Carnival. This is a national carnival. They have a carnival for one of the large carnivals that is a competition for the smaller carnivals, and I'm a judge for this.
And this is your way of relaxing?
Yeah, because of there's different ways you can relax, and this is what I do.
All right, Commander Gruber, can you tell me about the ruling here on Benghazi by the House Republicans?
the ruling of Benghazi, the CIA, of which I've been a loyal participant, was not involved in any cover-up. There was no cover-up on the CIA of Benghazi. There was no failure on the part of the FBI. There was no failure on the part of the United States military and the United States Marine Corps. And I think that there is a apology that should be forthcoming from this House, this Congress in the United States, to have indicted the professionalism of the CIA and indicted the professionalism of the FBI. And I think there's an apology forthcoming. And if I don't hear it, this is why I'm taking the line of life that I'm taking.
Now you're judging carnivals.
I'm a carnival judge because the CIA had been my life until Benghazi. Then the Congress of the United States said the stuff that they said, and I said, it's time for me to get out.
Commander Gruber, this is Margaret Gray.
Yes, ma'am.
You are now relaxing there in suburban Cleveland or wherever you live, and you relax by judging carnivals, and you're at the main carnival off, which is where?
It's in Dallas, Texas.
So all the carnivals go down there and are judged, and then they return to their various...
Yeah, they return to their different schools and places that they go. But I've had to get on the financial line because of it.
And I understand you suffered some injury as the result of your service to this country.
Yes, I mean, I don't have a nose.
You don't have a nose?
I don't. You guys think that's funny?
I certainly do not think it's funny.
I've got a prosthetic nose. It looks like a real nose, and I can breathe through it, but I can't talk.
Yeah, it's... How did you lose your nose?
I lost that to a guy. I hiked over a fence one morning. I was on my way to investigate an area where we found we had submarines. I got back over the fence. A short man in a hat came up with a switchblade and stuck it up my nose, and then...
And then, let me guess, did he say, "What? Hey there, kitty cat"?
Yeah.
That's the same guy that was in that movie Chinatown.
That Roman Polanski.
Oh, no, it wasn't Roman Polanski. It was the same guy that was in Chinatown.
That was Roman Polanski. And a guy put a blade up your nose, and he said they lose their noses and then cut your nose.
Yeah, that's right. What are you guys trying to say?
They're talking about a film that had the exact same scene in it called Chinatown.
That had the exact same semen?
I tell you what, Commander, we'll let you go. Thank you for your service to our country. As General Shaw, we thank him for his service to our country, and we just thank everybody for their service to every country, you know.
Does that include Iran?
No, it doesn't include Iraq or Iran, just every good country.
All the good countries.
All right, Commander, and thank you very much. So, you can see...
That guy didn't have a nose on account of the guy cut it?
Yeah, but you can see that...
Don't see the Chinatown, right?
Yes! Well, I don't get to... So, the same midget in Chinatown... No, this guy's got some... Excuse me for saying, General, but Commander Gruber ain't remembering things right these days. I don't think, anyway. So, you can see, though, that he sort of articulated, I think, what's probably the opinion of a lot of people in the CIA and the FBI... that these cats in the House and in the Congress, all these people that were critical of Benghazi, all these brain surgeons on the Alex Jones show, all these brain surgeons on the Michael Medved show and the Mark Levine and all these assholes, in other words, were wrong. But do you think they'll admit that they're wrong? No. I got into a debate with somebody yesterday, and here's what they said. Well, can you blame us? All the screw-ups by Obama, why,
Well, they're saying that they're paranoid and stupid because of Obama.
That's exactly right.
Wait a second. You're calling Are you calling the Tea Party, goddammit? Are you calling the Tea Party paranoid and stupid?
Yes, that's what I'm calling them.
So you're calling one of the most patriot...
Take it easy, General.
No, I'm almost apoplectic at what I'm hearing.
General...
No. This is between me and Phil. You're calling one of the most patriotic movements in the history of this country. Americans banding together to try to take this country back from an onslaught of liberal socialism. You're calling those people paranoid, ignoramus, and stupid. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I am.
I want you to be very clear, Phil.
Yes, I am. That's what I'm saying.
Wait. Think of what you're saying.
I'm thinking about what I'm saying. I'm thinking. I'm clear.
You're calling this group of very patriotic...
Yes, these very patriotic, fantastic Tea Party people are paranoid and stupid. Yes. And racist.
Oh, my God. God, Mr. Henry! Did you... You just said...
Oh, General, don't make a big thing out of it.
I'll make a big thing out of it. Don't you worry about it, because I can make a big thing out of it. And let me tell you something. When I make a big thing out of it, Patsy goes, oh, Daddy.
Yeah!
Let that be a lesson.
I don't want to sit and listen to this filth.
Right. Now, you want to sit down, Margaret, and hear this.
No, I won't. You don't direct me.
So you're calling the one of the greatest movements in the history of the American electorate, you're calling them racist.
Yes, yes, racists.
You know what, Phil? On behalf of all of the members of the Tea Party, and on behalf of all of the Americans that care about whether the country... What are you looking at?
I'm waiting for you to wrap it up.
You know what? Fuck you and the horse you rode in on.
Hey, yeah, General! Woo!
How's that feel, friend?
That's fine. I mean, you can say it all you want, General, but that's how I feel.
Yeah, I know that's how you feel. You're entitled, under the Constitution, to be a dumbass.
All right, I'm a dumbass. But let me ask you a question. Did the Congress not find them innocent of any wrongdoing?
The Congress of the United States, yes, they... You're talking about Benghazi?
Yes. Get over here, will you?
No, I'm waiting for the Tang.
I'm making Tang, Phil.
Making Tang?
Yes, making Tang. General, don't stand too close to me, because I happen to agree with Phil, and I don't need you breathing your clam sauce.
Well, excuse me.
Pat Quinn. Oh, National Hockey League's Pat Quinn. Great coach. Pat Quinn coached the... He coached the Flyers. He has passed on. Our condolences to any and all who may be listening to the Phil Henry podcast. It's very, very sad. Go ahead.
Go ahead, what? I'm waiting for Tang.
Well, you... No, you asked me the... No, I'm asking you the question. I'm just asking you. Do you think that they're right?
Yes, they're right. Okay, they're right. But for you to say that the Tea Party was paranoid and stupid, I'm saying that the Tea Party was paranoid and not... We were paranoid and on guard because of all the screw-ups by Obama.
Yeah, so in other words, you took all these screw-ups by Obama and made that an excuse to just suspect everything he did, including waste a lot of money on investigation. You'll turn around and look at the American people and say, look, see, we wasted all this money on this investigation. You guys are going to sell that. There's no question you'll be able to sell that. American voter right now, is it seems like he'll buy anything. So you go ahead and sell that to them and say, hey...
Yeah, Phil, you know what? You've got the bully pulpit here, but let me tell you something, friend. Facts speak louder than your bullshit, my friend. And I'll tell you this. For you to say...
Yeah, I know that they're paranoid and they're, you know...
They're paranoid because... And you say Obama made them that way. Yes, he did.
Well, that's stupid, you know.
All right, you've got your Tang. Now, would you shut up and quit breathing the clam sauce?
Yes, ma'am. Jesus, what a pig.
What did you call me?
I called you a pig. I'm sorry.
God, you hit the general.
That's right.
General, you okay?
No, I'm telling him I'm okay. General, why don't you go sit down and walk it off?
How do I sit down and what?
I can't get anybody. Man.
Man, you slugged him right across the face.
No one talks to me like that. Do you understand, Phil? No one. Frank knows it. The Delmonico knows it. And now y'all here. All you lot, you know it. Yous all disgust me.
Well, I guess we talked about Benghazi. I guess I'm insulting the great patriotic movement, but the Benghazi thing's been cleaned up, man. So do you want from me now, Ferguson? What's up with that? Anybody, Robert? You're black. What do you know about it?
Yeah, I thought I'd, yeah, because I'm a black man. I should know about that.
Yeah, sure.
Right now, they're still waiting on this grand jury report. I'll tell you something. The longer they wait on a grand jury report, I know they're kicking it around. I know they're beating it around. They're beating it up. They're playing with it. They're paddling it. And this may redound negatively for the police officer.
So the longer they take, usually they say the longer they take, the more it could mean somebody is innocent, let's say. But in a grand jury thing, it's...
Well, in the grand jury proceedings...
Wait, I want in on this. In a grand jury...
General, we heard you on the Tea Party.
Yeah, General, you already talked about it and everything.
Oh, is that right? Did I already talk about it, and I'm not allowed to say anything?
You can, General. Just I'm waiting for... Robert had the floor. Go ahead, Robert.
Now, all I want to say is, in a grand jury, it's probably different, but they are taking their time on this. And I think they want to get this right as far as they know what's right. You got three black jurors. The rest of them are white. And a lot of stuff has been leaked, but a lot of stuff hasn't been leaked.
Well, that's the point. You see, the things that have been leaked, may I speak?
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Well, forget it, then go ahead.
Margaret, go ahead.
Go ahead, Margaret. You've been butting in all morning.
All of yous can, you, all of yous can hang it in my ass.
Nice going, Margaret. Very classy.
You guys caused it.
Yeah, just like it's our fault that we investigated Benghazi because Obama is just such a weird ass that we can't trust anything he's doing.
What?
All right, so what's happening?
I'll
do it. Thank you, Robert. But what's happening here is that you're saying that they're taking a long time with the grand jury. They want to get it right. Now, the stuff that was leaked by the cops, and I got no doubt in my mind the cops leaked that. Somebody in that Ferguson Police Department leaked that shit about the gun going off inside the police car and that there was blood spatter in the police car because of the fact that there was a fight of some kind taking place in the police car. Now, you know, we got all these brain surgeons, like I said at the beginning of the show, people from all over the country. People from all over the country, and they know better than what people that were standing looking at this shit saw, right? You know.
Well, you trust, you see, what about the veracity of these people?
These people, you mean the people in Ferguson?
That's what I mean, Phil. Don't get your feelings hurt.
Don't talk about the veracity of them if they're telling the truth. Why would they lie, man? Because they're black people and they want to protect the black guy.
So that's right. So the whole community in mass is a monolith. That's the way whites think. White people think wherever you get a bunch of black people, they're all going to think the same thing. They get together, they have a meeting, and they decide, let's just bullshit the media and say this is what happened. A whole bunch of people, guy going to work, a woman walking her kid home from the school, a kid going to school, another man driving around, just all kinds of different, a grandmother, a grandfather, all kinds of different people. But because they have black skin, they're all going to get together in some meeting, some secret meeting, and say, let's say that this happened. And no, they're not individuals. We don't treat them like individuals. But you've got a lot of people in a lot of different places. And they're all saying that this kid was shot. They saw hands up. I don't know when the hands were up. Who knows? But there is a decided view to this thing that the people that were there had. Now, we're going to throw all of that out because that's got to be bullshit because they're all black people. And black people all band together and lie about this shit when it comes to cops. Let's throw all of that shit out and let's believe some asshole on a talk show in New York or in fucking Chicago, some white motherfucker. He knows better because he wasn't there, but he has that white, you know, he's got white eye.
White eye.
What is that supposed to mean, white eye?
White eye is when a white guy just sees it all, man.
Well, you're mocking Doug Danger's homo eye. That's what he's doing. He's mocking gay eye.
Well, gay eye, I mean, gay eye may exist.
Oh, yeah, gay eye exists like white eye exists. Caucasian eye, man.
Gotta call it honk eye or something like that.
Listen, you racist. Now you're starting to be racist against the honky. I mean, against the snowflake, not a snowflake.
Yeah, I'm being racist against white people, is that it?
Yeah, that's what you're saying. You're saying we got this snowflake eye, or whatever the hell you call it, and we see all and we know all, and we think blacks are a bunch of bullcrap artists.
Well, how do you explain that, General? Tell me. How do you explain the fact that all these white folks that are, you know...
Now, there you go with all these white folks. I know a lot of white people that think that cop did it. Okay, I know a lot of them. But you're talking about what talk show host?
I'm telling you that the people that were there who were black citizens of that town that were watching this, their opinions are being taken and thrown into the garbage by the overwhelming mass of people that think the cop is innocent who happen to be white. Don't tell me this shit ain't racial, man. There it is.
Well, you do look for the racial aspect, though. That part I'm very, very upset with you about.
Yeah, you do, Mr. Henry.
What do you mean I do look for the racial aspect? There it is. In front of your eyes. And some dude running a talk show in New York who's a white guy, whether it's Hannity or Limbaugh or whoever, he knows better than the people that were there. What could be more of an example of racism? What could be more of an example of abject, out-and-out fucking racism than that? Hi, I'm the host in New York. I don't know shit about what happened because I wasn't fucking there. I'm not a witness. I got a leaked fucking cop report here and a whole bunch of other people that are white. And, oh, it just happens to be coincidental. Let's find a black guy who agrees with us. Ah, see, here's a black guy that agrees with us. So here's our black. Now put him back in the closet when we need him for another issue. and I'm going to talk about this shit, and I'm telling you right now that that cop is innocent, and I know because I'm a fucking white asshole sitting here in New York talking about this shit. And the people that are there who happen to be black, who saw something different, they're full of shit. That's what black people do. They all get together and they lie.
No one's saying the black people lied. They're saying that the black people that were there are, they got it wrong. They didn't get it wrong, but they're looking at it through...
They're looking at it through rose-colored... Well, not rose-colored. They're looking at it through chocolate-covered... You shut up, man. Hey, out of here with it. Come on. Though me, I'm doing it wrong. Chocolate-covered glasses.
Looking at it through chocolate-covered glasses, huh?
Looking at it through chocolate... Yeah, I mean, why can't you?
Okay, bud, then you're looking at it through milk-covered glasses. How about that?
What's that mean?
What's that supposed to mean?
Forget it.
Well, you're not gonna...
No, forget it. You know what this show is worth for me today, General?
What?
Hearing Margaret slap you and you crying like a bitch.
Oh, my God, you did, General.
Now, will you bring that back? You bring that back, you look at it, dust it off, and trot it out again.
No. It was worth it to see you slapped and crying like a bitch.
All right, Henry, you asked for it.
Ow!
Yeah, how does it feel now, Phil?
You hit me.
Yeah, big fat baby. Okay,
Damn it, nose hurts.
God, Phil, what a pussy.
Oh, I knew he was a pussy. Get out of here.
No, I'm gonna get away, no.
It's not your show anymore, I'm gonna do it. I'm General Galen Shaw, how do you work these buttons here?
Well, that one over there.
Yep. I'll do it. This is General Galen Shaw, and that's about it here for this show. I've gotta pick a, don't, get away from me.
Well, General, what about...
No, I'll pick a song. I'm General Galen Shaw, and I'm going to pick a song. And this has been the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico here in Southern California. And we'll see you guys tomorrow at 8:30 for the pre-show, 9 o'clock for the regular show. And don't forget, on Thursday, Phil is a part of the Jimmy Pardo Podcast-a-thon for Thanksgiving Day.
Oh,
Phil, grow up.